Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so, and I want to introduce you to my guest. Today, it's Matt Hanna. He's the founder and president of Next One Up right here in Baltimore. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
I'm great, Gina. How are you?
Oh, good, good. We're so excited to have you on, and you've got the Spotlight on Maryland here. You've got a half an hour to tell us all about Next One Up, and to kick things off, what inspired you to create it?
You know, for me as a former teacher in Baltimore City, I had a huge focus on not only the lives of my students as they entered the classroom, but getting a better idea of what happens when school ends. And that's, you know, conversations of extracurriculars, the idea of is college next, is work next. I knew when the bell rang that wasn't enough.
Right, right. And what inspired the name Next One Up?
There was many years ago, I was actually a teacher at the time out in Denver and had some early ideas in my 20s of, you know, how can I make an impact just outside of the school walls? And somehow came across a really great poem by Mark Kelly Smith, who's a slam poet out of Chicago. And in reading that poem, it's a bit longer, but, you know, folks can look it up, called Pull the Next One Up. That poem just spoke to me. And it really is very simple when you reach the top of the mountain to be able to turn around and pull the next one up. And this idea of this program, it's not about you. It's about who's following you.
Wow. That's really inspiring for sure. And you're also a coach. People might know you as that as well. So has that kind of helped your mission as well?
I think so. I haven't shaken that. You know, I right out of college and got into coaching. You know, you name the sport, and I probably have done it at some point. And with that, kind of the name Coach Hanna has stuck. And that's even funny now, is the name Coach Hanna stuck, and I don't coach anything at this point. So when I left teaching high school, it was some basketball, lacrosse. But yeah, now it's day to day lives of young people. So it's coaching on, you know, you name it.
Yeah, that's a whole different kind of coaching, right? Yeah, because people might know that from, like, I think it might be either your Instagram handle or one of them, or Twitter, that has that coach in the underscore there.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yep. You're like, oh, hey, it's that Matt Hanna. I gotcha. So going back a little ways, why did you choose to attend college in Baltimore at Hopkins and then ultimately return, which we appreciate that you did because we need good folks like you helping everybody, to start Next One Up?
For me, it was interesting. I'm a coach's son. You know, in the early days, my sisters were born in Annapolis. My father was working at the Naval Academy as a coach, and he's from Central Pennsylvania, kind of middle of nowhere, small town, and was a college athlete. My mom was a teacher, but we ended up, and my mom was a gosh, and of course I'm on the radio, I'd love to give a shout out, but she was a teacher at Middle River for quite some time, and while my father was coaching at both Navy and at Johns Hopkins in the 70s. So we were kind of a Baltimore family, and then all of a sudden a job at his alma mater in the early 80s at Hobart College came about. So I was raised in central upstate New York in Geneva, which I love to death, and it's absolutely a special place to me. But we used to spend summers on down on 1st, 2nd Street in Ocean City, and good experiences of the everything from Phillips to the dough roller to you name it. And I've been to O's games at Memorial Stadium, and honestly, when the college search came for me as a young high school athlete in the late 90s, I looked at a few schools that really zeroed it down to the Baltimore area, and I think it came down to Georgetown and Hopkins and, you know, Loyola as well, and it was home to me. We had old friends, and even moving to Denver and coming back to Baltimore and so on, no matter where I am, it's home.
Yeah, absolutely. You're an honorary Marylander for sure, and we love the shout out to your mom, because the show is local, and your mom's service as a teacher now more than ever with all the virtual learning. I mean, our hats off to her and all the other teachers. That's really cool. And where is your dad from in Central PA? I might know, because I've worked in that area, and I'm from Philadelphia originally. So kind of.
Oh, this is going to be a tough one. This is Northwest PA. Corey, Corry.
Oh, I don't know that one. You totally stumped me. Doggone it.
Yep. But it's in Warren County, and the only thing they were really known for is producing bricks, and they don't do that anymore. And it's tougher times, but it was a great Pennsylvania football town.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I worked in Stroudsburg, so you might remember ESU back in the day. But so that's cool. But all roads lead us back to Baltimore. And how did your time spent as a professional lacrosse player influence the development of the athletic program that you have at Next One Up?
Yeah, you know, very much so. finished my playing career in Denver knowing that we were moving back to Baltimore. And I thought, you know what, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into education within the inner city. I've done, you know, a lot of work in private schools and realized it was a value, but I thought there's more. There's something else that I could deliver. And, you know, as an athlete, no question, I think the only, you know, challenge for me was, you know, I was always tough on the guys that I worked with, and that coach, you know, really showed up in me. And, you know, I think the challenges I was presented as an athlete, you know, I had my struggles in college, whether it was injuries or playing time or, you know, whatever it might have been. It all, not easily, but I was able to transfer that into, you know, a program of influence.
Yeah, and this is so important. And that, if you weren't being challenged enough ultimately on the field, then you certainly are now every day. And tell us what qualifies someone to participate in Next One Up's programming, because I know you do have a all-encompassing programming. It's
sure
awesome.
Yeah, in the early days when, you know, I would consider myself more of a rookie in terms of, you know, where to identify and find students. But as a teacher in Baltimore City for a stretch, I, you know, got a better understanding through coaching. You know, I met another great coach at a school or, a teacher or a parent. And all of a sudden, you know, I started to realize that, you know, collectively, you know, hey, would everybody want to meet at a library on a Saturday morning? I just have a friend. He's going to come in. And, you know, an example would be Sean Nadelin, the Towson lacrosse coach at Towson University. Sean would come in and do a college day. Say, hey, I'm Matt. Sean and I grew up together and played together in college. And he absolutely, like Bobby Benson or others, like who wants to volunteer their time to come speak to some young people? Guys like Darius Jennings, and he's an NFL player and Gilman grad. Just using my network to say, hey, we're going to grow this. And all of a sudden, we were able to attract, you know, the interest of a principal and say, hey, could you come talk to a few students? I remember Rhonda at City Springs. That was a great time. You know, I went over and presented to about 25 eighth graders, and I thought, not only is it not going to be hard to find young men of great potential that have some real fire in them, but some real challenges, I'm concerned that this city is going to need even more. Mm-hmm. But we were able to figure out our niche, which is a program, you know, be able to identify small cohorts each year, beginning in seventh grade, of young men that absolutely want something different. And it's you know, that mix of, you know, whether it's what's going on at home or struggles within their neighborhood, or in a lot of cases, just generally schools that aren't challenging them or athletic programs that could deliver better, you know, and that's what really bothered me was the statistics in Baltimore City of young men that may want to become student athletes in college, but we're not making it. And the statistics were pretty rough. And I thought, how can we impact this? Not to build better athletes, but to build a young man that has more than one option.
Yeah, for sure. And to keep them on that path, you know, because sometimes they wouldn't if you weren't helping them out. And you're absolutely right. You're going to need to help more and more people, especially through the pandemic. And we'll get into that in a little bit, too, and the economy and all of that we're all going through. And I applaud you for not only being one of those people that has access to those players and former, students of yours and whoever's in your phone that like has some sort of influence that you've either played with or you've known since school.
Sure.
The fact that you actually utilize them, a lot of people just know these people, but they're just like, oh, well, you know, I know I got some famous friends, but you're actually utilizing them to help others. And I think that's so inspiring.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's cool. So tell us, talk us through kind of the programming that the scholar athletes will receive from Next One Up or are receiving, actually, because this, you, am I not mistaken to think you've been around for 10 years now, I want to say?
Yeah, it was pushing 11 years now.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah. So we, yeah, it, you know, for us, it's evolved over the years, you know, and you know, maybe 10 years ago, 9, 8 years ago, when we looked at it was, you know, we're constantly trying to figure out what the recipe was. You know, is it a scholarship to a sports camp? Is it a tutor because you need to get this grade up? Or is it a, you know, visit to a college? And what we've done over the years, obviously, is been able to combine all of these into one larger force. And, you know, with Next One Up, in terms of where we're going, as a young man comes in, it's a really simple question. Are you willing to put in more? And then the student or the parent, you know, might say, what is more? Well, we start with a full day of academics or essentially a full school day every Sunday through your whole school year. So you're willing to go to school 6 days a week. And with a seventh grader, that's where the kid's eyes roll and you can see that absolutely not kind of look. And you can see a mom or a dad look at that kid and saying, you will go to this program. And the next step is, how can you meet halfway to get that kid excited to be there and that parent believing in what's being delivered? And we talked to the families about, you know, all of our parents about, do you see a change in your son at home? And not because we absolutely expect it, because we want to deliver that. We want a young man that's that's studious, that's focused on his future, that understands the impact that he has on his family circle, and just the idea of generational change. So when these guys come into the program, it's not easy. You're expected to be there every single Sunday, no excuses, you know, with all that. And one thing I always say is, aside from God, church wins. So if a kid has church, yes, you can come late. There's not a whole lot of other excuses that you're going to get out of us. But we have a great staff that's there. So imagine a young man coming through Baltimore City who could show up at a school, and our great partner Gilman that hosts us there allows us to use this space for free on Sundays, and we feed the guys, and whatever brings the kid in the door, great. But it's a mix of a workout, the academics, and most importantly, that life advisement. So a young man walks in the door, he has access to a college counselor, a social worker, a program director that can get him what he needs in terms of what high school he might want to attend. It's almost as if we have this small family with a specialist in what we feel is almost every area a young person needs. And what if we say to those families is, what if we put everything we could behind your child to make sure that they achieve what it is that they dream of? You know, they could be just getting to college. Now, if it's to be a pro football player, that's where the laughs begin, to say, well, here's the other side of hard work. We can bring some people in to show you what it takes to be an NFL player, but that is not what we do.
Right.
So that's a byproduct of extremely hard work. So I think we're selling a recipe to a young man that can be fairly confusing. But once you see our 23, 24, 25-year-olds, what we are really most encouraged by is the stability of our 23 alumni. They're all working. They're all professionals. Those that are parents are raising their children. We're seeing this change happen, and I think now we believe that this recipe is working.
Yeah, it sounds that way for sure. And you definitely have the support of our NFL team in town here, that's for sure, which is great. And so when kids are signing up for the program and they're like, yes, 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 and they understand, like, do you ever have them, if they're not following through anywhere along the way, how do you make sure that they stay focused? You know? Are there certain...
Yeah, great. Yeah, great question, Gina. And it's, you know, for us, it goes along the lines of, you know, how I operated as an educator. I was one of those that, you know, didn't quite follow all the protocols where if a young man in my class, maybe he played basketball for me or you know, a relationship has really evolved where I know the parents or where he lives or whatever it might be. I might do attendance and see that, you know, Joe Smith isn't there today. So I might call home. Nobody answers. I might text him. He doesn't answer. And then day two, he's not there again. Well, here comes the home visit. I don't care where he lives. I'm knocking on the door, getting him out of the house and figuring out what's going on.
Right.
And the same is mirrored in the Next One Up program. We've had that challenge just this week. You know, I'll call someone on the staff and say, all right, we've got an issue with, you know, with this guy here. Who's going to the house? And not only does someone volunteer, it might be multiple hands that are raised, but the idea is that through relationships, we're able to completely transform what that path could be for a young man, because when you show someone that you absolutely care about them, not within the school walls or not within the Sunday program, but anywhere and everywhere. I've showed up at workplaces. I've told employers, if he does not get it done, call me. I will fire him, because it's so important to me that the community understands that the young men that we're developing are absolutely the future. So in terms of retention, we don't have a lot of issues unless you want to run and hide. We do have some guys that say, those Next One Up guys are crazy. I'm not going back. I like what you guys do. No offense. I'm going to keep moving. We say, hey, just like an athlete, hey, you don't want to play on the team? Keep moving. We love you. We support you. And we also have had young men through the program that might just be more academically inclined than what we're offering.
Yeah.
We absolutely are open to that. And I always tell a great quick story of Raekwon, who graduated from Poly this year. He came to me as a freshman and said, Coach, I just can't keep up. I'm really into academics. I want to be a doctor. Can you help me out? And we recommended him to another program called Merit, our good friend Jake and his staff run, that is sort of really doctors in training. And now Raekwon is on campus at University of North Carolina, pre-med, ready to roll, because we realized he wasn't for us. And he realized the same. And not only did we, you know, we didn't let the sun set on that relationship, we put him in a better position.
That's right. You empowered him in the direction he wanted to head. And that's really smart. And I love that you have no excuses policy. I'm kind of similar in that way. Like, if, especially if you're running late, I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to know why. I just want you to get here safely, and then I don't need to hear your excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
We're both on time for this interview, right?
And so
I know there's various facets of the programming, too. You could tell us a little more about that, including the community service hours and other things that are expected of the folks in the Next One Up program.
Yes, big hallmark for us. And I give a huge shout out to Shel Simon, our chief program officer and James Story, Winfield Hopkins, the whole group. But, you know, Shell really took on the view of what our young men should be doing outside the halls of this Sunday program and just during the week. So when you look at everything from Ronald McDonald House to, you know, Share Baby, gosh, we had an awesome softball game with Baltimore Station. Our guys played against them a couple summers ago, and it was wild. The game was supposed to end, and it wouldn't end because the guys at Baltimore Station would not allow themselves to be defeated by high school kids. And when we look at their community service program, teaching these guys at a young age the impact that they can have on the city that's building them, and our program is, again, no excuses. I don't care if you're in seventh grade, you're going to give back. And most importantly, because we show that with them, you know, the support we provide. So I think we are absolutely, I think my true vision of guys in their 30s that are board members, that are influential within their churches, their communities. I don't care if it's official and you're wearing a shirt and tie in a boardroom, or the fact that you're just handing lunches out of your, you know, church basement. But the idea is that we are going to build the change makers in the future that Baltimore needs.
Yeah, you just rattled off a bunch of great nonprofits. A lot of them we've had on this show too. And yeah, that commitment to those organizations doesn't end. You know, they always need your help. And it's really cool that you guys get involved as well.
Absolutely.
And work with other nonprofits. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but how has COVID-19 affected Next One Up's programming? You don't seem like a guy that gives up easy. So I think that you guys have adapted and you're just doing things a little differently, maybe.
Yeah, and I, you know, with our staff, we could have, like anybody, we could have, you know, crawled into a hole and said, this is the beginning of the end. Or as I say to a lot of our guys and to our staff, is stared it in the eye. And as we looked at what happened, and are you going to give up on these guys? And what is it going to look like? Okay, Sunday program in person is not going to happen. So let's get on Zoom calls knowing that it's imperfect. But what we have realized is, as I was saying earlier, is our relationship building is completely beats out the programming piece, meaning that, like, oh, wow, we can't get together, so the playbook's broken. So let's draw a new playbook.
Yeah.
And so for us, we got through our programming through the spring without losing any guys. Our summer program had great attendance. We did have to absolutely incentivize it. We've got a workout program for them. We have heart rate monitors that they wear, and we're starting to implement a competition program for their health and wellness piece, you know, 3-on-3 basketball, anything that is within the proper guidelines. But we're finding we're having parent calls that are able to connect with our social worker, our students the same. We just took what we did and unfortunately put it online, and we're not seeing a drop off. We have guys that, you know, 20 plus different colleges who feel more connected to us than ever. And a lot of them are really struggling right now about what this transition is about. And unfortunately, like a lot of us and you and I and anybody listening, is that this is new.
Yeah.
And what we see is the ability to see around corners is going to be the hardest thing for us right now, is what really is next in the nonprofit world, the education space. We had a call with our staff yesterday. I said, realistically, let's just talk about next summer not happening, you know, in terms of in-person. I never want to get to that, but the idea is that we'll plan a week down the road, we'll plan a year and a half down the road, and know that no matter what, we'll be there for these guys, and their trajectory will not change. And that's a hard thing to commit to, but I mean, what else am I going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the fact that the rattling thing is we don't know when it's ending, but the inspiring thing is that we're all in good company. You know, I mean, whether you're Brandon Hyde doing a post Orioles press conference, or you working with Next One Up members, or me doing this, like whatever it is, we just kind of are doing it in a different way. And it's not perfect. You're absolutely right. You know, you have sound issues, microphone's not on, whatever, but you just soldier on, you know, because that's what you got to do. And your results really have been staggering since the inception of Next One Up, like 10 years ago. So this is the time of the interview where you get to brag a little bit about those percentages, because they are very, very impressive.
Sure. We, you know, as the program's grown, and we're all constantly finding new data markers, you know, for us, I love that 100% students graduate high school on time. As you've seen, Gina, in this conversation, if you come in seventh grade, you darn well better graduate high school.
Yep.
The second thing is 100% of students accepted at a 2- and 4-year college. I have the same response to that one. When we look at our matriculation to college, that's where things really change. For us is we want you to choose the path that's going to be most effective, that is not going to bring on a ton of debt to you, but is going to get you the education you need to have your best life. And as we take a look at that, we have, even from our senior class this year, we had some young men say, hey, let's look at a 2-year school at CCBC and some of their trade programs, or Howard Community Colleges, or literally looking right directly into trade schools. When we look at our graduating classes, which are about 12 to, you know, 10 to 13 per year, is we want to make sure it's the best we can is tailor-made for what we think they need. And I will just say, we are scared to death of debt for young people. And so with that, whether it's the military, as I say, trade schools or colleges, we want these guys to make the best choice possible, which is where our staff, these conversations start in seventh grade. So by the time you're a senior, you don't have the perfect decision made. You certainly have had plenty of dropouts and transfers, just like anybody, but they're still with us and they're still on the path that continues to evolve and unfold in front of them. The time that we put in with them on Sundays is always important and ever evolving. How can we do more, whether it's online, hybrid, or other? And then the college tours. Not only college tours are we starting to, continue to grow, and we spend a week on a college campus every summer, but now we're looking at workforce tours, getting an idea of inside of our country from infrastructure to how supply chain works. Clearly, even tomorrow, Friday this week, one of my special kid in our program, Arthur, who takes the CDLA test on Friday, if he hits that, he's our third CDLA during COVID. An idea that, for our guys, he was a college student, but the idea that they can pivot to something that they realize might be more meaningful at the moment or might be even better for their future. So when we get to that college age, we love for these guys to try to make decisions on their feet and make it themselves and not have us make it for them. And our feedback from our families and our graduates has always been really solid. And I think the proof is with our alumni. If we got 22, 23 of our alumni guys, there's 23 total, on a call, you're going to find that is a group that, has their own struggle in any way of, finding the right career or whatever it is. But they feel loved, they feel supported, and they know we're not going anywhere.
Yeah. And how long does Next One Up work with the scholar athletes before they graduate from the benefits of the programming?
That's a good question, Gina. It's evolved. We used to say, maybe it was for funders to get a better idea of, what's the beginning and the end. We would say, 13 to 23. Well, that sounds nice. And then what happens when the 24-year-old calls me and says, I think I want to transition careers. I want to join the military. Or I just got fired from my job.
Right.
So in my head, I go, well, let's bump that number up to 24 now. And then when the 25-year-old calls and says, hey, I'm thinking about graduate school or buying a home. I'm going through home buying process with three 25-year-olds right now. And with that, I guess our program keeps going. And I'm excited to say that because it's not about more funding behind it. It's just that I'm putting more time and resources behind these guys, as we say, being healthy and wealthy. And by the age of 30, to me, is, are you living in a situation that you feel is more stable than where you come from? Or is it in a situation of where you're going? Maybe both. Are you owning a home? Are you, as I've said earlier, in a career that has the benefits that you need? Just the idea of how we identify stability. And I always have this dream that, as these young men become full-grown men and established members of the community, we're going to have an amazing population of leaders that I'm going to lean on to get where we need to go. Pretty soon, when a kid needs a job in construction, I call a Next One Up guy. When a guy needs a job in finance, I call Lemuel at Morgan Stanley because he's one of our guys, and Kaylin Keyes at Whiting Turner. We are planting the right people in the right places because of how hard they work, and really for us, just unfolding a network for them. And so I don't know when it ends, but I can say from statistically, it continues to evolve. We know when they come in. I'll let you know later when they end.
Okay, perfect, because it's like it's constantly changing, but I know that the future is in good hands with Next One Up alums, that's for sure. And this is kind of a tough question in the middle of a pandemic, but what is the future of Next One Up? What do you see for the future? I know you probably have a 5, 10, 15, 25-year plan.
Yeah, and for us, it certainly is long-term. And as I've said, where will our guys be in their 30s? And, that's a big vision for us. And then, for us is, where would this program be able to be shared? I would never use the word franchise in that sense because, as I say to anybody, Baltimore is my focus, but I hate to not, we have three young men that are in the college area in Boston and one that's working in the area. And what happens when that kid calls, that young man calls, as he did this summer, and said, hey, coach, I think I'm going to take this job in Boston, and why can't we do this here? And I said, no one's asked me. But the other idea is, my wife is from Boston too, is I know that place, and we've got some great people. And so I said, I might jump back and forth here and see what, model number two might look like. And again, not in terms of a franchise model, but let's take this playbook, find the right people in Boston, and in my opinion, would be Next One Up Baltimore graduates or some young men that have been through similar experiences and try our best to share this. Or, you know, for us is, can we just continue to expand our network to get more Baltimore kids, you know, getting internships in other cities? You know, we have a young man that has lined up an internship, you know, God willing, with all of this, in Los Angeles next summer. He's a freshman at Stevenson University. We just want these guys to see the world. Baltimore is absolutely where they live and breathe and grow, but we want to make sure they understand what the world looks like outside the Beltway. So, you know, it could just be a job placement in Boston in the summer, or maybe there's, you know, colleges up in Boston that would work best for our guys. But we constantly have conversations with people in other cities, and there's no playbook for sale. And I certainly am not, I don't want to charge anybody anything to tell them how it's done. But if you want to see our model and it's going to improve the lives of youth, then let's talk.
Yeah, for sure. So it's not out of the question. And I know that one of your alumni, Winfield Hopkins V, completed the program and came back to work for Next One Up as program director, which is great. So what value does having an alumni in the actual program bring to the young men that must bring so much? And I'm getting the 2-minute warning too, so it has to be like the
of course,
Cliff Notes answer.
Yes, it's anything and everything. When I started this program over 10 years ago, and he was one of those guys, I said, this program's being built so you can take it over. And the idea is that as we serve young men in Baltimore City, why wouldn't it be run by young men that have become men from Baltimore City, our board members, our donors? So this is just the natural growth of it. He's a Goucher grad. He's a West Baltimore kid. He is who we need to be successful. I'm an enormous Band-Aid to keep all of this together and the vision going, but it really is our graduates that are the future.
Yeah, and are you looking to expand the program to include women eventually?
Oh, that's always been a great conversation and things that have brought up to us. When we really hit the ground running years ago, it was very much focused on what I did, was coaching and teaching with young men. But that conversation needs to continue to happen. This has really been developed off of the dire statistics of young men in Baltimore City and graduation rates. But at the same time, I think the conversation about a program for young women needs to happen. And our trajectory has gone so fast, so hard forward, that whenever I get that question, I always smile and say I'm open to it.
Yes, that's a good answer, too. And for people to get more information, they can definitely go to nextoneup.org, right? And you're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And any final words, anything else you want us to know before we hit the road today?
Yeah, I think great questions, and I was happy to share it. And you know, as we keep rolling, we're hopefully we'll continue to be out there on social media, and as our program starts to grow with more initiatives, we would just love to hear from folks. Support in a number of ways matters, whether it's volunteering, financial investment, obviously job placement, workplace visits, you name it. We survive and exist because of a great network.
That's awesome. And as the world continues to open up, and hopefully that just continues to happen, it'll just open up even more opportunities for Next One Up and here in Baltimore and perhaps beyond. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We've been talking to Matt Hanna, the founder and president of Next One Up. And you guys, thank you so much for listening out there. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.